It's 5 o'clock somewhere, Real Estate Investor Podcast. Today, we're actually going to go over a few topics that I find important to talk about. We're going to talk about pros and cons of submitting owner finance offers. We're going to talk about why it's not a great seller's market, but why it's also a really good buyer's market. So stay tuned.
We are sponsored by Title Assurance and Escrow, a title company here in Cordova that does all of our closings, title work, escrows, and we only use Title Assurance and Escrow. That relationship is very important because we can get things done for our investors quickly and easily. So to speak with Title Assurance and Escrow, call 901-737-3332. Ask for Chris or April.
All right, welcome back. Marissa Miller's in the studio with us. She slipped in late on the last episode. Jeff McNett's with us, and I'm Brett Bernard. And of course, we have our little cheese prick producer from Britain is in the room. By the way, at lunchtime, I went through the entire internet for an hour, and I kept just looking up hilarious jokes about British people, and the dumbest stuff comes up. Like y'all have zero humor. No humor at all. Every joke I read sounded like it was being recited by a third grader.
So you're saying they're kind of bland?
Oh my God.
Like
food sucks and they have no humor. Have you ever watched Monty Python?
Benny Hill was
a genius to be as funny as he was. Was he from Britain?
It was a group of people.
Well, but yeah, they were funny. So I don't think they're really from there. I think they immigrated there and then called themselves British, and they were actually funny.
I think your research was a picnic.
A picnic?
Problem in chair, not in computer.
Benny Hill's funny. Was funny.
Yeah, he was funny. Yeah. But let's face it, most Brits have no sense of humor.
You need to look up Frankie Boyle.
Frankie Boyle? Okay, I'm going to look him up. Funny. We'll look him up and play a... We'll see if we can get a soundbite of him.
I'm not sure any of that.
Is he related to the British singer Boyle, the one with the beautiful voice? But when you looked at it, you're like, holy crap!
It's not very kind, is it?
Well, I mean, I'm not the only one that said it.
No, I mean only that they're both Scottish.
Okay, both Scottish. I did see one joke: Scottish, a Brit, and a Frenchman. Making wishes from a genie. That was funny, but it's a little vulgar, so I didn't want to repeat that on there. All right, let's get to our topic. I'm done. I've gotten a rash of owner financing offers. Nick, Jeff, have you gotten any yet? Not yet. I know Nick's had a couple.
I don't get any offers.
you're getting there.
Tell me about the owner financing. Is that... Okay.
Well, apparently, when
is that something? No, I'm serious. Is it something normal, or is it something that I would do as a seller in a bad market that I have? My house has been on the market for a long time, and I'm just absolutely desperate to sell it. Marissa's offered to buy it, but you know she's got a 300 credit score, and I'm going to just finance.
There's problem number one.
I'm just going to finance it for her and hope like hell she pays me. Why do people in a residential single family application benefit from?
House has been on the market. They've been transferred out of state and they got to sell their house quickly. They haven't been able to get a buyer for it. So they consider it, right? I was trying to figure out where all this, out of nowhere this year, we just started getting hit. Every property I list, I get 10 owner. Hey, Brett, this is so-and-so. I'm an investor. I buy tons of properties. I would like to submit you an offer. House list for $190. And they're like, okay, here's my email address.
Well, yeah, I take that back. I have gotten calls like that. The guy will call and he wants to offer me $600,000 for a $300,000 property. He's going to give me $50,000 down and pay me like $900 a month.
Right.
Bullshit stuff, you know.
Right. Well, that's the offers we get. And I couldn't figure out where it was coming from, but I spoke to someone that I know in the real estate business, and they said it's because when the market went down and there weren't a lot of investors that felt like they wanted to buy anymore because of interest rates, some genius in California said, oh, I got a great idea. Let's charge everybody $2,000 a weekend and we'll teach them how to go throw BS owner finance offers at people. So the first time I got it, I actually entertained it with my client and went through the process and kind of went back and forth with him. It was Daniel. And then as we went through it, we began to realize all the negatives to it. And but I didn't think much of it. I just kind of blew it off. But then it's gotten to the point now where I get three or four a week. Every house I have listed gets three or four owner finance offers a week. And so the people that are listening to us, if you went to a seminar and you spent your money, I'm not going to use the word wasted, you spent your money to learn how to make owner finance offers, I need you to understand why probably the majority of what you put out there is not getting accepted. Number one, every mortgage has a due on sale clause. You know what that is?
Yeah, well, the lender wants their money back. With
and basically, the lender says if property. You, Richard, as the mortgagee of this property, sell, transfer, or convey that property, there's a due on sale clause. We have a right to demand full payment in 30 days to pay off the loan. That will get triggered through an owner finance process because whoever's doing the owner financing is going to want to file paperwork that will show up in record. When the bank sees it, they're going to call a loan on you. Now, you and the buyer are screwed because unless that buyer can scramble and get a loan to pay it off, more than likely, they're just going to walk away. And when they walk away, you've got a defaulted foreclosure and you've got the bank demanding your $150,000 you owe them in the next 30 days. You're burnt. You're screwed.
The owner.
Yeah. Richard as a seller now is screwed because this guy's going to be like, well, I can't get a loan, so I'm out.
Yeah, and that shuts the whole owner financing thing down for me.
That's one issue.
Yeah.
But I don't think
it's a big issue.
I can tell you right now, these seminar guys aren't telling these kids when they charge them to $2,000 or whatever it is to teach them this process. It's been around for 300 years, by the way. You didn't need to go to a seminar to learn it. Call me. I'll teach you how to do it.
Well, Brett, it's a big issue for me. I mean, you know. I mean, the reason why the guy came to me to begin with was because he thought I was so desperate I couldn't sell my house. And, you know, and he was right. I was desperate. I sold him the house. Owner financed him with a 400 credit score. And, you know, now I'm paying for it. You know,
right.
That type deal.
There's a lot of risk.
I just don't like them.
Well, there's a lot of risk for the current seller. Lots of risk. You know how much risk the buyer's got? Well, zero. Because you're not reporting as a mortgage company to this kid's credit bureau. So if he walks away on you, yeah, you're going to file a lawsuit against him or try to go after your money. You're going to have to foreclose on him to get the house back. But we'll talk about that part of it in a second. I don't want to get too deep into that aspect of it because there's a lot to that part. But the first part is due on sale clause, number one. That's a huge risk for the seller. Very little risk for the person who's made the offer, who's buying the house from you. The second issue, and I want people to listen to this very carefully. If I have an investor that's getting $1,500 a month out of a home currently, and decides to sell because he's going to go buy an apartment complex. So he's selling five homes. He's getting $1,500 a pop on each one of them. That's, what, $7,500 a month. And you come in and make an offer to buy one of them on a 30-year mortgage with a $10,000 down payment, and your note to him is going to be $495 a month. I'm not a counselor. I don't want to try to pretend I understand how most humans think and how the brain works, but I don't know one idiot in his world that unless he is on his deathbed, dying of cancer, and has to get rid of this property, why he would take that deal. Can Agreed. Anyone else explain to me why you would do that?
You'd only do that if you're a complete moron.
Okay. Well, there's one good reason.
Beyond idiot. Desperate. I'm waiting for you to give us an example of when a seller financing is a good idea.
There is one option, and it is available, and it doesn't come without risk, but it's a better way a better prospect. So number two, why would someone give up rental cash flow? If it's MHA, guaranteed cash flow, why would they give it up to turn over a property and the liability and the control of the tenant that's going to live in the house, taking a chance on someone that may default and may not pay the mortgage payments for a mortgage payment that's $900 to $1,000 less than the current cash flow? The only one, what would you say earlier?
Because moron.
Moron, okay. Idiot, stupid
so,
person.
I mean, so that's why the lenders put the clause in there.
Well, they put the clause in there because they don't allow assumable mortgages. Very rarely do they allow someone to assume a mortgage anymore, right? When you assume a mortgage, the deed changes hands. So they put that in there so I can't go to you and say, here, Jeff, let's do a document. You take over my mortgage.
Yeah, because...
Well, you can do that, but you got to go to my bank and get
qualified.
The
lenders are protecting themselves because what you just described... I could beat their rate, and they don't like that. So they're protecting their interest.
Right. Well, then you've got the liability.
I'd put it in there, too, if I were a lender.
I would, too. Well, all of them do now. There's very few that allow assumptions. There's very few that allow you to sell your property without satisfying the mortgage or lien against the property. Basically, you're allowing someone to assume your mortgage. That activates due on sale clause immediately.
Exactly. So, one and the same.
I'm guessing those same people actually didn't read all the minutia.
Probably
when
not.
They bought the house.
Probably not.
What's that? Fine print?
Yeah.
What'd you call it?
Minutia. That's a British term
that's
for shit.
That's how you say
actually,
fine
that's
print.
That's the American pronunciation.
That's how you say a fine print in your language, British language.
Well, that's the American pronunciation of the word. I can't even remember how Brits pronounce it because it's not like that.
All right, let's talk about the liability. I mean, let's get into that a little bit. I mean, let's think about the liability that Richard has as a seller. Marissa goes to him and says, here, I'll give you want $190,000? I'll give you $210,000 as long as, and I'll give you $15,000 down, which is not even 10% down. So you're not even meeting the normal mortgage down payment amount. And they think that because you're getting $20,000 more for the house, that you're going to jump on it. But that's not cash in your pocket. You're just signing a note to accept $20,000 more over the next 30 years for the value of the home. Meanwhile, over the next 30 years, that house is going to appreciate greatly. You get zero effect from that. But financially, it's a dumb move. But for the liability's sake, if that's a rental property and you got a tenant in there and that tenant lease ends and they vacate, well, now the guy you've sold it to finds his own tenant, but he doesn't qualify him. They move into the house. They tear the house apart, steal the air conditioner. He doesn't have the money to fix it. So what does he do? He bails out on you. Now, you've got the house back that you've made your whopping, at this point, what, 4 or 5 months, $2,400 on. And your air conditioner's gone. Your house is trashed. The guy defaulted on you. Now you've got to pay an attorney to go foreclose, get the house back. And then once you get it back, you got to go spend 10 grand to get it fixed back up so you can get a tenant in and then try to sell it again. So there's huge amounts of liability for a seller. So I would never, ever, I get the offers. I text my clients because I'm required under my Tennessee license to notify my clients of an offer. And all I tell them is, owner finance offer, not even going to tell you the amount.
It's in a lot of the realtor comments on our MLS too.
I put them in all mine now. Yeah. No owner financing, period. Don't waste my time. You know, and obviously the last biggest problem is going to be legal issues. If you do this right and you file paperwork with the assessor's office like you're supposed to, then in a lot of cases, if the buyer defaults, you may not have to foreclose on them, but you're going to have to get an attorney involved and you're going to have to go to court and you're going to have to get possession of the house back. Because once you sign that document, you've given possession of the home to this person. If they don't pay, you're in the same boat as a tenant who hasn't paid the rent, a mortgagee that hadn't paid the mortgage payment. You still have to go through a legal process to gain access back to the house. It does not prevent that guy, who's now the legal owner of the house, from going in there and ripping everything out of it. Taking every piece of plumbing, every piece of electrical.
I like what Nate said. Pour quick set concrete down all the toilets and water.
Hear me out.
Sinks.
That's criminal, and you go to jail for that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
If that's your house and you currently own it, and you go remove the kitchen cabinets, and then the previous owner gets it back and after default, what's your legal argument? You can't sue the guy for the cabinets. They were his cabinets when he took them out. I was taking them out to replace them. Y'all wanted the house back, so I never replaced them. I don't know if you can
yeah, but
compel
isn't that considered
the guy.
A fixture, permanent fixture?
It's no different than a bank forecloses on a house and somebody pours concrete down a drain. The bank's going to have to eat it. That's all.
Well, yeah, at the end of the day, you're not going to get your cabinets back. The guy didn't pay his house note. He's not going to pay you for the cabinets. Why don't you just do a lease purchase with an option to purchase and be done with it if you ever get yourself
into a situation.
Well, that's
a better scenario,
like that.
But even a lease purchase could trigger a due on sale clause. So you have to be careful. So the only time this makes sense is if, Jeff, you own your house free and clear. You paid it off 10 years ago. You want to sell it, but it's appreciated so much your capital gains tax is going to eat your lunch. And you don't want to pay capital gains. So what do? Owner finance it.
Yeah.
Get payments monthly for retirement. $1,100, $1,200 a month, $1,500, whatever it's going to be.
Could he do the 1031 exchange?
You can,
so
but not on,
not,
not on a personal residence.
On a personal.
That's designed for investment properties.
But, you know, and I'm assuming all your scenarios that we're talking about.
You're guaranteed up to $500,000 free.
If someone's living in a $700,000 house and use the scenario you just left, and you're going to get a better clientele, not all the time, but you're going to get a better clientele in a $700,000-$800,000 house.
Well, they're not making offers on $7,800.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They're making offers on $100,000.
In our business, I just think it's a terrible idea.
It is a terrible idea.
And it should be illegal to do it, or you should go to jail for being a moron enough to do it. One or the other.
If that was the case, there'd only be a few people left in this country.
I know.
it'd be a lot of open space.
I know.
Look, at the end of the day, unless you approach the people listening, if you want to do an owner finance deal, fine. God bless you. You paid your $2,000. Go put it to work. See if it works. But you got to find somebody that is probably elderly, retired, house is paid for, who's going to have tax issues should they sell the home. Or a family that has inherited a home, right? That has had massive amounts of appreciation and they're going to get hit with some kind of a huge estate tax. You know, doing an owner finance deal, that doesn't call it, you don't pay those taxes on that. You're basically going to pay ordinary income tax
most
on the money you receive each month.
People don't have the wherewithal to figure all that out. They're just going to cash grandma's house in and split it among their siblings and go buy a new car with it and move on.
And fight about the money.
Yeah.
So with all that said, I think owner financing, whoever's pitching this idea to the, especially the younger generation that's just getting, trying to get their feet wet in financing or in investment, they're just ripping people off. Owner finance doesn't work. I've asked one guy that said, he must have sent me 10 this year. I texted him back finally and said, my client's not going to accept this. He's getting $1,695 a month rent. Why would he do that for a $500, $550 payment? And I just point blank asked him, how many of these have you actually gotten done this year? And he goes, only one.
Well, that
system sucks then.
You get them on those listings that you've had longer than you've wanted to, you know, because they think you're desperate.
Well, even if I am desperate, my due on sale clause is going to prevent me from doing it, period.
And that's what
these guys aren't doing. They're not checking to see if Richard has a mortgage on his property. If you knew Richard had a mortgage on his property for $250,000, house worth $400,000. You would know he can't sell it to you on owner finance.
Some of them are doing their due diligence because, I mean, a lot of the calls that I got were on that Bethay property that we finally got rid of, you know, sold. But, you know, because it was all cash deal. There's no mortgage
on it. That's
why. And they just blew my phone up after about the third month into that deal.
Yep. They've got you on a tickler file just waiting to hit that 90-day mark, and they're going to start blowing you up.
Oh, yeah.
So owner finance, bad idea. That's my take on it. If you're trying to do owner finance offers, great. Go for it. Do your owner finance offers. But just understand why you're not getting them accepted. There's a lot of pitfalls and a lot of risk for sellers, and most of these guys are smart enough to understand that. Let's talk about why it's not a great seller's market, because we're dealing with this. We've got a lot of houses listed.
Man.
Right? They're not moving.
Tough right now. Can't sell them.
Why?
Got a lot of buyer activity, but they're all lowballing. It's just a lot of inventory out there. Everybody's sitting on the fence.
We're seeing the repercussion of the interest rates from last year, right?
Inflation stuff.
A lot of people.
Worked so well for Richard 4 years, you know, for the last 4 years.
He's probably funneling all that money back to Britain anyway.
Biden F inflation.
That's right. Biden F inflation.
That evidently made everybody's life better except for a real estate investment broker.
Well, let's talk about that. So because of interest rates, a lot of investors stopped buying. When investors stopped buying, inventory piled up. As inventory piled up, investors had more to choose from. So what do? Whether you're an investor, whether you're a wholesaler.
Well, you start lowballing.
You start lowballing because why? You've got 100 houses to choose from.
So you throw them all out there and hope
the one sticks.
My question is, it's hard to place tenants now.
Well, that's only because
the shortage of tenants coming from. I thought the whole idea of this was
inflation.
I can't afford to buy a house.
Well,
I've got to go rent something.
Well, let me tell you what it came from. Because of inflation last year.
Where are they living? They're not living on the street.
They're just staying in the same house they were in last year. They're not moving to the bigger house or moving to the higher rent. Because last year, costs went up 20-whatever%. Well, that guy that works at FedEx that makes $22 an hour, same amount every 2 weeks, his costs went up, but his paycheck didn't go up. So what happened? He had less money. Extra money in his pocket, so he couldn't save money for a deposit. He couldn't save money, and maybe he blew a tire and had to buy new tires for his car.
You know,
he didn't have the money to move now.
And the other thing that, since you brought that up, and I don't mean to get off topic, but you're always touting the positive effects to an investor that, man, we're going to throw this renter in here for $1,500 a month. You know, you're building 3.5-4% equity annually on the house, and rents are going to go up every year $50 to $100. Well, my God, man, sooner or later, because like you just said, wages aren't going up, and if they are, they're not keeping up with
they're
inflation.
They're about to. I think we're about to see
but with your scenario, you almost price the rent to where nobody can afford. I mean, when are we going to draw the line on how much rents are going to go up?
It's kind of stabilizing now.
Because it can't always be 1%. No. I'm not going to, if I've got a $180,000 house in Orange Mound, I'm getting $1,800
The best you could do is 10% gross, and that was really good. The 1% was unheard of, right? And that's going to go, we're going to go back to that again. But that's why we always preach, you know, a lot of these guys get stuck on the cash flow. If you build your portfolio based on asset wealth and not cash flow, let's say you buy 20 homes tomorrow and you break even on every one of them. You don't make a single penny in profit every month because you're putting money back. You're putting money away for repairs. You're paying your mortgage. You're paying your taxes, paying your insurance, putting your own shit fund aside. But you don't make a single dime.
Cash flow is irrelevant.
20 years from now, those 20 properties, you're going to be a multimillionaire in asset wealth and cash flow, right? So somehow we got to get these people to understand you got to go back to doing this the common sense way and get away from I'm going to buy 10 homes and quit my job and be the next Donald Trump.
Well,
I think a lot of
our guys understand that. It's just that they're not pulling the trigger to buy more right now.
There's a lot of uncertainty. That's for certain is the market will go up again. I think we've all pretty much agreed into this year, probably 2026, we're going to see a boom.
Yeah, but, you know, we were sitting here this time last year talking about how good it was going to be right now.
Well, I will tell you, there's a lot of factors to that. We know those factors. Those factors are no longer a problem. Those factors are gone.
Should have bet him two bottles of blue on that one.
Yeah, I know. I helped you drink them, though, so I got half of it back. So my opinion is at this point.
I mean, we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, we are. I mean, there's just a lot of activity.
It's just a lot. It's moving a lot slower than I had anticipated it.
Here's what I tell a lot of investors, and I tell them this to make them think. We have a lot of inventory right now. But as that inventory shrinks, prices are going to go up. And the more it shrinks, the more they're going to go up. So would you rather buy a home today that may go up $20,000 in the next 3 to 4 years, pay a little more on interest, maybe get a little less rent, maybe you're making $1,200 instead of $1,350, and ride the wave with it? Because what's more important to you, the $100, $200 a month that you're going to put aside, or the equity growth and your asset wealth in the future? And when you put that on a scale, the asset wealth in the future is the key.
Oh yeah.
Period. They've removed real estate. It's all of a sudden like people aren't looking at real estate as an investment anymore. They're looking at it as a vending machine ATM machine.
But
an investment.
I would never let an interest rate stop me from buying right now.
No.
I mean,
absolutely
it's
not.
A buyer's market. I mean, you just can't believe some of the ridiculous offers that I get.
I do. I get them all the time. But it's a seller. It's not a seller's market. It is a buyer's market. But you have to be reasonable with your offers.
And it concerns me when a potential investor says, "Well, I'm waiting on the interest rates to drop a half a point." Okay.
So you'll pay $15,000 more for the house next year.
Yeah. So
smart.
You're going to wait till the interest rate drops a half a percent so you can save $18 a month and you're on your payment back to the lender. Wait about 3 to 6 months and that same house is $20,000-$30,000 more at a lower interest rate. Now you're paying $218 more back for that a month.
I think it just goes back to what Britt was saying on the last episode. Like, they're not doing the pen and paper.
No.
They're not doing the math. They're not, because you're saving a few bucks.
The other problem that, Brett keeps blaming the real estate seminars on this, but the other problem is, and Brett knows this, but we live in an on-demand society. We live in an entitled society. You know, we can't even go to the damn department store and buy a shirt anymore. We got to order it online. We want everything right now.
Even outside of wanting everything rich, right now,
schemes.
Go to a realtor that knows their stuff, that can break it down for you, because they either don't understand, so they're fixated on that interest rate,
or they follow the wrong experts.
But
the experts are only in it to make money.
All we're creating for our investors is a retirement plan. It's no different than a 401k. It's no different than dumping your money into the stock market.
Exactly.
You're getting real estate's a more stable investment. I've got money in the stock. I've been contributing money into the stock market for 30 years, and I've built up a little nest egg.
Yeah, well, I agree, I agree with what day, you're saying, though.
At like, the end of the day, it's only going to give me about a 5% return on our money.
Don't let an interest rate stop
And guess what? If we have another great recession again, everything that I've spent the last 17 years rebuilding, because I lost most of it in 08, that's the thing. You're not going to lose all of it in real estate.
Well, it's the thing about real estate is it's cash
dip,
flowing.
But it's always going to come back.
Your values go down, they always come back up. But I would argue with any clown, I apologize, it's a strong word. Any seminar guy, anybody out there pitching the seminars, whatever sales, real estate scheme you've got, you're putting together, I will argue with anybody that it makes more sense to buy today and pay less for the house and pay $80 more on your mortgage because the interest rates are higher. And instead of $13.50 rent, putting a tenant in there for $12.50 today is way better than waiting till 2026 to buy that house for $15,000 more, maybe get $50 more a month in rent than you get now, and save $80 on your rent.
$80
on your interest payment. It makes ridiculous financial sense to take that approach. And until people realize it, I think they will. I think next year when things boom, a lot of people who have been sitting on the fence are going to regret it. They're going to be like, damn it. I waited too long.
I should have got it when they said.
And they'll all be buying at top of market. They'll all be doing like 2021, buying houses 10% over asking and throwing cash at stuff left and right. I don't understand the philosophy. I don't understand the mindset other than the fact that they just haven't taken the time to take a piece of paper and a pencil and just write it out.
And if they and don't the know numbers. Like, you know, how to do the paper pencil method and how to work the math out.
It's pretty simple. You grab a pencil in your right hand or left hand, whichever you are.
Them, you know, guide you through it. Like right. You want, if you're investing your money, you want someone that's going to guide you in the best direction for you in your
Absolutely.
Finances.
Absolutely. I mean,
I think it's just lack of knowledge.
It is. And it's very simple. If you're ambidextrous, put it in the left or right hand. But put a pencil in your hand, put a piece of paper in front of you, and write down the sales price, write down your mortgage payment, write down your cash flow, write down your equity position, and then go and add 15% to your purchase price next year and add, I don't know, 5% to your rent, and then add $30 to your mortgage payment or lower $30 to your mortgage payment. And you do the math on it and tell me which one makes more sense. That's it. All right, listen, we got to go. Thanks for listening today. You give us a call at 901-692-7401. Reach out to us. Go to our website at mymemphisinvestmentproperties.com. Send us a message. Give us some topics, ideas. We'll see if we can get some experts in to discuss that. And also, download and subscribe to our podcast because we'd love to have you as a subscriber so we'll know you're listening. Have a great day.
For more common sense real estate tips, listen and subscribe at 5oclocksomewherepodcast.com. The 5 O'Clock Somewhere Real Estate Investor Podcast is a Sound Ideas Group production.